word of God, as it is written in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18 to verse 21. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ. This is the Word of God.
Well, friends, as you know, on Sunday mornings, we're busy working our way through Ephesians, and we're in chapter 5 this morning. If you'd like to open your Bibles to that passage that Terry read so well to us, Ephesians 5 and verse 19 to 21. If you're visiting us, can we just put you a little bit into the background? We go verse by verse through Ephesians on Sunday mornings. We believe that the Word of God is very powerful. It speaks into our lives. It covers every different area. And we've been going slowly through it this year. So chapter 5, you got it there in verse 19 to 21. Will you pray with me? We dedicate this money to you, gracious Father, as we thank you for the great joy that we have to give to your work. Grant to our counsel great wisdom to use every cent wisely and prayerfully for the extension of the kingdom of God in the world in which we live. And I pray now that you would help us as we now put all our attention into the Word. We pray that you would speak to our lives, that there are areas that we need to put right, that by your Spirit they would be put right, that in every way we may be growing into the image of Jesus. Please bless our time in the Word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a very wonderful brother in Christ who very graciously comes and helps me on a Saturday morning, and we clean the cars and cut the grass and weed the garden and all of this. He does 99%, I do 1%. But Kennedy is a very lovely brother from Kenya, and we've entrusted a lot into his life for this year. But I said to Kennedy yesterday when he was helping me, we've got a lovely vegetable garden. We took out some of the spinaches that are just ready and cabbages for Mary and cook up for us. Terrific, man. If you need any help, I'll help you with Kennedy. And I said to him, Kennedy, I want you to answer this question for me. If I had to ask you, what are the three consequences in the life of a person who claims to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what would you say? Hey friend, if I had to ask you that this morning, if someone says to you, I am filled with the Holy Spirit, what would you expect to see in their lives? Now don't shout out loud. Just think about it as we go through the sermon. In the world in which we live, if we had to ask it to a lot of people, they straight away would say to us, well, you will speak in tongues. Or other people that you will prophesy. Or you perform miracles. Or as my dear brother Kennedy said to me, I think the three he gave were there's peace, there's love, and he couldn't think of the third. So what does the Bible teach us, dear friends, on the three marks the three characteristics of the filling of the Holy Spirit. I want to suggest to you from these verses that the three things that result are the following. Singing, the giving of thanks, and submission. Those are the three from our passage this morning. When God's Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will put a song in our heart. He will give us thankfulness towards God, and He will make us submissive to one another. You want to put it another way? The first is the inward relationship. The second is the upward relationship. The third is the outward relationship. In other words, my brothers and sisters, the filling of the Holy Spirit will help us to be rightly related to ourselves, to God, and to one another. It's a wonderful passage that we were able to learn together yesterday morning with Kennedy. So let me share it with you, if I may. Here then is a person who has become a Christian. They have given their lives to Jesus Christ. See? They have been born again. God's Holy Spirit has come to live in their lives. We've seen that in chapter 1 to 4. But not every person who is a Christian is filled with the Spirit. We may be baptized by the Spirit, but to be filled by the Spirit is an ongoing relationship whereby we allow the Spirit to take control of our lives. Now, when He does that, the first thing that will result, come with me now to verse 19, is the consequence with ourselves is that of singing. Look at verse 19. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. My brothers and sisters, what we see this morning is a very important thing, that the Spirit-filled life will always produce music. May I say, whether he has a good voice or cannot carry a tune is not the issue. The Spirit-filled Christian is a singing Christian. And nothing is more indicative of a fulfilled life, of a contented soul, and a happy heart than the expression of singing. The interesting thing to notice, if I may, just for a minute, as you learn from church history, is that whenever God's Holy Spirit has worked in a wonderful way, it's always resulted in good music. Think, for example, of the Reformation, that great Reformation in the 1500s, where after 1,000 years, where the church was stone dead. My friends, for 1,000 years, the church was dead. By dead, I mean dead. There was no life whatsoever. Suddenly, under Martin Luther and John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli and all of these other guys, God moved among the churches. People came back to the Bible, back to Jesus, and you know what resulted? Singing. Some of the wonderful hymns that we sing were composed at that time. Michael Schumacher will be doing his thing today. If he wins, which I hope he doesn't, but if he does, They'll play the national anthem of Germany. Do you know that? The national anthem is a hymn. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion City of our God. All of this came out of the Reformation. Because when God moves in the heart, music results. A couple of years later, when God moved across England, Scotland, Wales, and across into America, under George Whitfield, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, and all of those other men, what resulted? Some of the most wonderful hymns that we sing. We've just sung one of them, And Can It Be? Because the Spirit-filled life produces music. But, notice four things about that music quickly. The first thing you notice in verse 19 is, among whom do we sing? See verse 19? All we're going to do is let the Bible speak to us. See verse 19? Speak to one another. So throughout Scripture, the singing of God's people is known to take place within the fellowship of believers. We love to sing with one another. It would be silly for me, after I've gone for a little run, to join some of the men in the pub afterwards and to start singing And Can It Be? They would think I've had too many. Wouldn't they? It's ridiculous. But to come here with you, my brothers and sisters, and to sing with you is a wonderful thing. Because you and I are saying to God and expressing to God the incredible gratitude that is within our hearts for what He's done for us. We are worshiping Him for His grace, His mercy, the characteristics that mark His life. Let's just use an illustration for you. Let's go over the one we've just sung. What did we sing? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain? For me who Him to death pursued? An unbeliever can't sing that. The last verse, no condemnation now I tread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him my living head. The non-believers can't sing that. They haven't a clue what we're singing about. To come to a believer, someone who's come to Christ, someone who has been saved, someone who has been regenerated, oh, it's a glorious thing. You see, because singing and music is very important in our lives. I may say that not just for the benefit of our musicians, but I believe music is very important. It's very, you know, I think, am I allowed to say that? I'm the new boy on the block here. But from what I've gathered from you, that service we had on Good Friday was one of the greatest services Christchurch Pinetown has ever had. Wasn't that right? It was great music based on good theology that honored the Lord Jesus. And many of us were crying in that service. This is exactly what Paul is saying here. Where do we sing? We sing among one another. We sing among the believers. What's the second thing our verse tells us? How do we sing? Well, it says we sing with psalms, with hymns, and with spiritual songs. The hymn, the psalms, of course, would refer primarily to the psalms of the Old Testament. There are many that we sing. The most well-known, of course, is Psalm 23. How often you and I love singing. You go to the average funeral, they all sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." So here, it's a psalm. We take those psalms and we sing God's word. They're wonderful. They're terrific. They speak to us of God's greatness. Hymns are hymns that have been composed by godly men and women, and there are a number of them throughout the Bible. When they crossed the Red Sea, they sang a hymn. When you read through Philippians 2, they sang a hymn. When we meet with Jesus, one day when He returns together with all the angels, we are going to join in the singing of that great hymn of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Psalms speak to us of God's greatness. The hymns speak to us of Christ's redemption. But the songs would refer to those testimonies that people have put down in writing that speak of God's comfort and God's power and God's grace. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, all filled with the things of God. And we love to sing them. Number three, from where do we sing them? Well, what does it tell us there? Thirdly, we sing in your heart. You see, friends, I may say that for you to think through today. You want to stop singing? Stop crying in Jesus. Because when your heart is cold, you don't want to sing. When someone is dead, spiritually, they don't sing. When somebody is cold, they don't sing. But when the heart has been moved, as we've sang in that hymn just now, we don't worry if it's on key or off key or bad key or whatever. I don't worry about that. Don't worry who's next door to you. Because we are singing to our gracious God. Our music is not the music of the world. Our God is not like their gods. Most of the world's music reflects the ways of the world. The world's standards, the world's attitudes, the world's gods. Our music is about God. Our music is about Jesus. Our music is on the Word of God, and it comes from the heart. And then number four, what do we notice at the end of verse 19? To whom do we sing? We sing to the Lord. In other words, friends, our singing and our making melody is never for the purpose of drawing attention to ourselves or of entertaining others. It's always with the purpose of bringing praise to God. I must be careful, if I may say that to you this morning, when we have the gift of someone singing a solo in our church, or when the choir comes and sings to us. I must never say to you, and now we are going to listen to the choir who will sing to us. You see, if I say that to you, friend, then you have all right in the world to throw eggs at me. I don't want to say that. I must come and say to them, to whoever sings a solo or whenever the choir sing, they are now going to come and sing to the Lord. They are going to sing to God. And as they sing to the Lord, you and I are going to be blessed. There's a massive difference. Jesus is the audience to whom we sing. And because of that, we must make sure that the words that we sing are absolutely based on the Bible. They must be distinctly, clearly, and accurately reflections of what is taught in the Bible. So there may be a very beautiful, soothing piece of music. It may calm your nerves or remove some fear. But if it's not based on the Bible, it's not something that we would encourage. Because our singing is to the Lord. It comes from the heart. There to tell us about the greatness of God. The wonder of our redemption through Jesus.
So,
there's the first thing. The first consequence of the filling of the Spirit is with ourselves it leads to singing. Let's quickly move on to number two. There are only three, eh? That's quite nice. What's the second wonderful thing? Look at the next verse 20. Here is now the consequence towards God. How does it affect our relationship to God? See verse 20? Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. So the consequence now, my friends, is that there is in the life of a believer that note of thanksgiving. May I say to you today that a grumbling spirit is not compatible with the Holy Spirit. Someone who's walking with God, filled with the Spirit, is a person who is overflowing with thanksgiving. Notice four things about this, just to make it clear. The first thing is, when do we give thanks? The answer is, always. See there, verse 20, always. Always. We always recognize God's control over our lives in every minute detail. We say thank you. If I may make a suggestion to you. When you wake up in the morning, friend, I hope the first thing that you say to yourself before you do anything else is, it's going to be a great day today. Isn't it? We're going to have a great day, you and I, today, friend. Believe it or not, some of you look a bit depressed here, but let me tell you, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day today. Now, don't say that glibly or lightly. How can I say that? Because God has promised that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So God may bring trials into our lives. He may bring difficulties into our lives. And we are going to learn to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, gracious, loving Father, for this wonderful truth that whatever you bring into my life is always for my good. You all have a holiday in the holidays. I didn't have many Bible studies, so I was able to read a lot of books. Now, one book I read last week was called Tested by Fire. Have any of you read it? By John Piper? It's really worthwhile getting. It's the biographies of William Cowper, John Bunyan, and David Brainerd. And the one thing that really struck me right to the core of my being is when he went through John Bunyan. Remember, we're doing Pilgrim's Progress with our children at the family services. John Bunyan was put into prison for 12 years. It broke his heart sometimes to be visited in Bedford by his little daughter Mary, who was blind. And for 12 years she used to come to Dad. Do you know when John Bunyan got out of that prison, the words that he said were, Lord, thank you for those prison walls. Thank you. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, as you know, who was put into those very cruel, vicious concentration camps under Stalin. Solzhenitsyn came out of his time in one of those camps in Siberia, and the words that he has written, I can give you the quote, put it on your desk or stick it on your fridge. I want to say thank you for that concentration camp. You know what he learned? He learned what really counts in life. He learned some of the most wonderful lessons that he would never have learned otherwise. And my dear friends, what we're learning this morning is that when we are growing as Christians, we hear one another saying thank you. If something happens into my life, if there's a sad thing in my life, if God takes my wife or one of my children, I don't want any of you to come to me and say, Warwick, I'm sorry. Please don't say that. Please don't say that to me. I want you to come to me, and I want you to help me, and I want you to teach me and say, Warwick, let's say thank you to Jesus. Because Jesus has got a plan in this. And Jesus has got a purpose. And Jesus is going to give you the grace. And I will say thank you for coming. You see, it's so different to the world. The ways we grow, we develop a praising heart. We are saying to God, always, thank you, Father. What's the second thing we learn? For what do we give thanks? For what? Well, it tells us there, for everything. For everything, brothers and sisters, for everything. Now that's fairly clear. The spiritual believer sees God's wise, loving care in the difficulties, as well as in the trials, as well as in the blessings, as well as in the prosperity of life. He thanks God for everything. Always. In everything. How are we to do this? Number three. We do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that we give thanks consistent with who He is and what He has done. We can give thanks always and for all things, because no matter what happens to us, it will always turn out for our ultimate blessing. But more than that, it will turn out for His ultimate glory. So if John Bunyan had never been in the prison cell, we wouldn't have had Pilgrim's Progress. If William Cowper had not tried to commit suicide 4 times, we would never have that magnificent hymn. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. We wouldn't have had that hymn. But Cowper knew in those times of deep, deep, deep depression. It's a mystery. I've got to learn. And when Brainard was expelled from Yale University, it was a terrible thing. He was expelled because he questioned whether his lecturer was saved. They expelled him. It was on the surface a huge, huge scar in his life. But if that had never happened, Princeton Theological Seminary would never have started. You see, brothers and sisters, always, in everything, give thanks to your Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, to whom do we give thanks? We give thanks to our Father. It's to our Father in heaven who loves us. I need to just move on to number three. What's the third consequence when we are filled with God's Spirit? The first one is, with ourselves we sing. Towards God we say thank you. And then lastly, what about to one another? How does that relate to one another here at Christchurch Pinetown? How do we relate to each other? Listen. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So the filling and the control of the Holy Spirit will lead you and me to a spirit of humility, to that spirit that gives us the desire to always seek the welfare of others before our own. That's the spirit. William Hendrickson, in that lovely commentary, put it like this: sometimes a person claims to be filled with the spirit, but they may become self-assertive or brash. But the Holy Spirit's a humble spirit, and those who are filled with Him always display the meekness and the gentleness of Jesus. It's one of the most evident characteristics that they submit to one another. And so today, friends, I want to learn to submit to you. I want to learn to be a servant, to put others first before ourselves. Why? Because that's how Jesus lived. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve one another. The natural person finds this impossible. For those of us who know Jesus and are seeking to grow, what's going to happen? Towards God, you're going to learn in everything, always, to say thank you. Never to complain, never to grumble. Towards yourself, to learn to sing of the greatness of God, of the wonder of Christ's death on the cross for you. And to each other, you're going to learn to be humble, to put one another first, to prefer others before yourself. Those are the three consequences that will result when you and I are walking with Jesus. My friend, how do these relate in your life today? You love to sing to Jesus? Is there a song in your heart? Or perhaps is there a coldness that's come over your life? Towards the Lord, you're very angry about something, bitter, resentful, doubting. God wants you to say, thank you. Thank you. I used to visit him once a week. He went blind when he was in his early 60s. And every Friday I used to pop in and read the Bible with him. And he used to teach me. He was much more godly and wiser than I'll ever be. But it was quite sad in many ways for me. I used to look at my dear brother in Christ, and he looked for the plug. He wouldn't let me do it. He wanted to make me coffee. But you know what? I never once heard him complain. I said, Warwick, God has a plan in my blindness. Towards each other, friend, don't ever be proud. Don't ever be brash. Submit to one another in love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Help us to be a singing, thankful, humble people. Amen.